This morning I have been asked to focus on devotions, quiet time. Others call it their time alone with the Lord. For me, the purpose of my time alone with the Lord is to build that relationship. God speaks to me through His Word, the Bible. Interestingly, here's the Bible I used in junior high and several years later. I didn't have as many as she did. Here's another Bible. I don't know. Did you turn on your hearing aid? This is the Bible Sally Joe gave to me in college. And I used it for years, and obviously it's had a hard life. In more recent years, I have this Bible. In all of these Bibles, as I have read them, I've made marks, I've made notes. I won't be able to read the notes later. I know this. But at least to write them down, I had to think. I had to think. Now I too have one of those little telephone deals. This year I'm reading the Bible through chronologically. Fascinating. And if you've never done this, do it. It's my second time. And it also tells me when I'm 3 weeks behind. No, I'm current, folks. I'm current. What do my quiet times look like? My times alone with the Lord. I read the Bible. I've never heard God speak. We will say, I've heard God speak to me, but audibly, if you will, He's been silent. But when I read, I am often aware of some particular verse or something comes to my mind and I realize specifically, this is for me. I learn a lot through the Bible. I really can't tell you how many times I've been through it. I've been reading my Bible since junior high school, almost every night. And every night in those days, I would read one chapter, try to get one something out of it, and then pray. And we both know some of those prayers were very short. When I pray, how do I pray? We'll come back to this, but there's an acrostic, ACTS, A-T-C-S. Adoration, thanksgiving, confession, and then supplication or asking. I don't worry about the order. I've never been able to separate out adoration and thanksgiving. It takes a higher IQ than mine. But I'll go through and thank the Lord, praise Him, because there's so much in this world that He created for us that is wonderful, that is beautiful. And I'm thankful for this. And I tell Him. Sometimes when I go to confession, I have a very heavy heart. Because when I look back at my week, I realize that I was pretty harsh sometimes. Critical, judgmental. I did things that I know were not pleasing to the Lord. And I tell Him what He already knows. Because it clicks in my head if I have to zero in on what it is. Some of you may think this strange, but there are other times, and this is true for you, when I get to the end of a day and I'm not really sure I have anything to confess. I'm thankful. Because that sort of balances the tough ones. Then I'll end up praying. Praying for specific needs. I'll pray for Dirk and Jennifer, Josh and Tobias and Corbin. But they will continue to be useful to the Lord in this church and walk with Him throughout their days. And I pray for our daughters that they will have an experience, an undeniable experience of the reality of the living God. I pray for Tim and Becky. They're in the process of making a decision. Should they leave the church they're in and accept the responsibility and opportunity of another church? I pray for Dave Deshi. Well, some of you may know, he's the chaplain at Albany Med. He and his wife have been through a real tough stretch. And during this stretch, He's eaten too much, to the place where his diaphragm has trouble working. And I promised him I'd pray for him every day as he works to get rid of those pounds. The list goes on. And finally, I thank God for the privilege of having time with him. God is very real to me. I know God knows what's happening in my life. Two experiences. Come on, try and deny God on this one. Sally Jo and I go to the Albany Symphony Orchestra, Troy City Music Hall. We've always parked in this funky little lot between two buildings, which isn't lit, which isn't paved, and does not have much to recommend itself except available. About a half a block walking down a dark alley, which is sometimes not in great shape. 3 weeks ago, we drove in. All the parking places in this funny little place that isn't marked were full. I mean, there was no place to put any more cars. So I dropped Sally Jo off, and she walked down this alley, which was icy and basically covered with water because it was the nearest way, the closest way to the concert hall. Then I had to find a parking place, which turned out not to be too tough at all, because I went back to that alley and normally walked to the right. I drove to the left, and as I drove to the left, just around the building where it was a strip, paved strip, mind you, for about 10 vehicles. And right in front of me, a pickup truck got one, and I got the last. I was one happy man. So I hopped out of the car, went down this silly alley, got to the concert hall. Sally Jo was waiting downstairs for me, and it was a wonderful concert. A wonderful evening, until we walked back, and our car was gone. And then I noticed a little sign across the sidewalk that says, "Private parking. Owner's cars, other cars will be towed at the owner's expense." I was not saying at that moment, "Thank you, Jesus." There's a phone number. So I call the phone number. This man answers, quite friendly. He says, "Yeah, I've got your car. About a mile from where you are." Now, this is a night when it's sleeting and raining and just gives a phone number, call the taxi. Taxi can't be there for half an hour. What do? You walk. And so where we have to go is up near the street, going down the street from where the concert hall is. So we walk up there, and as we walk through this mess with the sleet coming down, we see one car in a parking lot. And walking towards that car is one man. And he's getting into the car as we get near, and he cuts off, and I cut him off and said, "You know, we need help. Why?" So we told him. He says, "No problem," and he clears out the back seat and the front seat because he's got a 3-year-old. We get in. He says, "I grew up in Troy. I know right where you need to go, and it's a very, very bad neighborhood. I'll take you there." 3 minutes earlier, a car and no person. About a minute and a half later, no car, no person. So we ride with Justin down into this very bad neighborhood, and we're talking, and we have to have $160 plus tax in cash. And we look at each other and open our wallets. You know what? $122. That ain't going to cut it. Now, across the street is this ATM, but it is, again, in a very vulnerable situation. So we ask Justin, "Do you have any money you'd loan us?" He opens his wallet and hands us a $100 bill. "When would you give a $100 bill to the person you just met? How many of you carry around a $100 bill?" "Here." So I go in and pay $172, and he goes to get my car, and Justin will not let Sally Jo get out of the car until he takes her and puts her in our car. Just happened. Sally Jo and I got a refund check. It was from Cleveland Clinic, where I had open heart surgery. And we didn't think we'd ever see the money. Frankly, $2,500. We had said to them, you owe us this money. It's marked as a credit. They said, no, we don't. You watch. It'll be part of your bill. We went back and forth, and finally they said, you know, basically, forget it, folks. Then in the mail comes this $2,500. We didn't plan on it. Didn't plan for it. So we decided maybe we were supposed to give it away. And to three different people, we did. One of these was through the pastor of a church. We knew a situation in the church where there was a need. Ran through the church. You know what? It wasn't long before someone came in and talked with the pastor about a specific need. And that pastor reached in his pocket, pulled out the check. I think this is the money, the exact amount that you need. God is alive and well, and he wants to guide us. Sometimes others are the means of God's provision for us. Sometimes we're the means of God's provision for others. I can't prove God, but I can speak to the reality of his existence, of his interaction with my life. This shouldn't be too surprising. By the way, I had 26 passages of scripture within all of this. I think I'm down to 20. Not because I'd memorized all these, but because I've read the Bible so much that I've got pieces of different verses, and I can go to the concordance in my computer and find each one. Ephesians 5:29 says this. Whoops. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works which God prepared in advance for me to do. I'll say it again. We are God's workmanship. You are, I am. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I can expect God to use me. Most of the time, it'll be simply in the context of what the Bible teaches. There are people in this congregation who need my smile, my love, that need your smile, your love, your encouragement. There are people that you know that just a little bit of niceness, of saying, here, let me get your tea. There are people here this morning, my guess is, who really don't know many of you. There are other times when Sally Jo and I independently come to the conclusion there's a person with a need that we can meet. Last week, Pastor Dave talked about those going to India and how the congregation should reach out and support and encourage them. You know what? I don't know who they are. But some couple or family in this church invited Jennifer and the boys over for supper one night. They heard, they realized, this is a need we can meet, and brought a lot of smiles. There are two ways to read this Bible. One is strictly academic. I want to know what's in it. Like a course. But there's another way to read this Bible. And that is to read and say, Lord, speak to me through your word. Help something to click up here that I can identify with, that can change how I am. I look at the world around me, and I have to say, there's so much of God I don't understand. Why didn't the Lord stop this deranged guy from shooting 17 people? Go figure. In Isaiah we read, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." In India right now, there are 1 1/3 billion people. 63 million Christians. And by best estimate, after talking and finding out what's going on, 86% of these Christians endure violence. Goes on and talks about the churches and such. 86%. The pastors who go out from that little school, they know what they're walking into. It's a Hindu country. They really are not very welcome there, particularly if they turn from being Hindus to being Christians. How much does God love us? In the beginning, God created. Click. One little thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's like he put a fence around and says, just don't do it. But he did give Adam a job that I wish God would have given me. He said, I want you to name the animals. Can you imagine sitting there while this parade starts? Mouse, elephant, eagle, rabbit, tiger, camel. I wonder how long Adam sat there trying to think up new names. But you know, when he saw some of these critters, he would be saying in his mind, I like that one. I'm not sure about that. It's quite a job. Along came Eve. We don't know how many years Adam was at his job, and we don't know how many years after Eve came out of Adam that she didn't eat that fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. To that point, they only knew good. But the time came, and you know it, and I know it. And as soon as they ate that apple, suddenly their relationship with God was changed. It was like it was broken. It was like it was dead. God can't look on sin. And here these people are. They had, if you will, willingly, almost deliberately, eaten this fruit. God said, don't do it. And they said, at that moment, God could have written us off as human beings, but he didn't. And we read in Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've had it set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the result of Adam and Eve's sin is that it was contagious. So suddenly mankind knows good and evil, and suddenly man is involved with evil. We read in the Bible that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're proof of that. Everybody except my wife. She walks on water. To do what is right, God doesn't do it for us. We know, come on, we know inside what we should do and shouldn't do. But it's our choice. It's our discipline. And sometimes we have to take very seriously the verse that says, no temptation, none, is taken you, but such as is common to man. Other people have it too. It goes on to say, but God provides a way of escape. This past week we were in North Carolina with friends, all of whom, by the way, half a dozen of them who'd worked for us in previous years. One of them was Jimmy Oregon. He travels so much for his work that they have sections added to his passport. That's a lot. They have no television in their house. His wife is homeschooling, and they have no television at all. It's not that he doesn't know what's going on in the world. He just has come to realize this television does him no good, and not the members of his family either. Little boy that's homeschooled is adopted. The mother asked them, to take her child. No television. The other kids, I think it's four or five of them, all out of the house. All but one are married. That girl is engaged. Doing extremely well in the world by any measurement. They grew up without a television. What are we addicted to? What shouldn't we really have around? Jennifer and the boys can tell you, I thought I had it up here, that if there's food in their house, I smell it. I love coffee. I love cake. I love pie. She's so mad at me, she's walking out. No. So what do I do? I don't have many cakes and pies around my house. We got more of these things. They're really crummy cookies. Takes away a lot of temptation. Self-discipline. When I get up in the morning to have my devotions, I am not always happy, folks. I see some of you with a big grin. Yeah. And I'll say, Lord, for heaven's sake, let this not be a waste of time for you or me. And I read my Bible and sometimes click, yeah, this is where I am. Other times, I don't know, must be still in Hebrew or Greek because it's not getting through to me. But I keep at it, day after day after day, and it's paid off. Here's an interesting little thing. How many of you know what this is? Ha ha! Some of you work with your hands. I work with my hands in my shop, and wood, sawdust, just dries out your fingertips. Carpenters who work outside, they get cracks in their hands and their fingers. So, several, watch how fast I can do this. I go right through all my fingers and put this stuff on them, and then I go like this, and you know what? I don't have any cracks. Protection. And to me, that's like devotions. Doesn't take much time in the spec of 24 hours. But it anticipates the challenges that could come if I don't take care of my hands. I think this is how our devotions are, our time with the Lord. It prevents. Because once the cracks start to come, it takes much more to clean them up. I have found that when I have my devotions, it's much less difficult to keep pure thoughts. For real. But when I let God just sort of slide, this sort of slides. And it's not good. I think it's like this. You have a fire that's burning brightly, and the animals go off into the woods. The fire dies down, and you can see the animals' eyes get closer and closer. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, training in righteousness. It's worth our time to read. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus healed them. Only one came back to say thank you. And that one coming back was so noteworthy that the Lord identified and said, where are the others? When we have the privilege of knowing the living God, when we experience that he speaks to us, he guides us through his word, when we know in our hearts what he really wants us to do, when we experience the joy of being used by God, let's not forget to thank him. When we pray, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Just reminds me who I am, where I want to be. In closing, I'll say this. God wants us, if you will, to live in partnership with him. He wants us to be saying, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours. He wants to hear our praise. And when he asks us to do something, let's have the faith. Let's believe. Yes, I can do this. I can do this because the God who gives me the assignment isn't going to walk off and dropped me on my head. We took over Sky Ranch and Deerfoot Lodge. There were 48 kids. Used to have 100. The place was dying, literally. It was falling apart. And here we were leaving a place in Texas where I had 9 full-time employees. To go to this place was, I was it. I took a cut of a third of my income, and we won't go into all the story. They wouldn't pay Sally Jo a dime because they didn't have it. My salary was totally paid by that board of directors out of their own pockets. It's the only way they could do it. Sally Jo's father looked at it, and he just shook his head. Yet we hung in there, and when we left, there were 160 kids all summer long. Annual giving without a fundraising was over $300,000 a year. And today, those young people are now men and women serving him in business, manufacturing, teaching. They're lawyers and doctors. And these were some of the people that we went to see in North and South Carolina. Folks, live in partnership with God. Say, I'm here, I'm yours. Lord, in a sense, take advantage of this fact. Now, you're not going to have miracles every day, and neither am I. No, you hear about them in the Bible, and it seems they go ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. But they're over the span of 40 years in a person's life. So don't expect every morning to have the money in your pocket that you didn't expect to meet the needs of another person that needed it. Don't expect always to have this person available when you needed him to get to your car. But God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He loves you. He knows you. And let's praise him for this fact. Let's pray together. Lord, we are your people. We are called by your name. And may this joy be in our hearts, and may it be reflected how we live. In Jesus' name, amen.